fighting has entered third day today, and some estimates put the number of those injured at over 1,000. Well, now to help us understand the implications of the ongoing war, we are joined in by Andrea Macha, political analyst in the studio. Good morning. Thank you so much for making our time to speak to us.
Thank you for inviting me today.
Right. So can you just give us a background on what sparked this recent conflict?
Let me start by saying that we pray for Sudan to have peace and stability. Sudan is a very important neighbor to us, and any war in Sudan will not be good news for us in South Sudan. That is one. The most important things in this conflict is to understand who is fighting who in Khartoum. Of course, there are two groups that are fighting in Khartoum. As I'm speaking, for the third day, today is Monday. Mm-hmm. There are still fighting now around the military headquarters in Khartoum near the airport since morning. So to understand the situation, we really need to understand who is fighting who and for what. The first group is the Sudan Armed Force, headed by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, who is the head of the Sudan Sovereign Council. The other group is the Rapid Support Force, headed by Hamiti, who is actually the deputy head of the Sovereign Council. So actually these are one group, the same military, who is ruling the country. They have divided themselves and they fought. Why are they fighting? There is a disagreement on the transition from a military rule in Sudan to a civilian-led government in Khartoum. Mm-hmm. But the most of the contested issue is the issue of the integration of rapid forces of Hamiti. He was saying he wanted 10 years for his group to be integrated into the army, while Burhan was asking only for 2 years. So this is where the situation is.
Right.
But the situation is really very bad. Mm-hmm. It's very bad in Khartoum.
Right. And you say that these people, I mean, these warring parties are supposed to be working together. But now, with Sudanese army declaring the Rapid Support Forces as a rebel group, do you think there's hope for a return to the negotiating table?
Of course, this kind of a statement, you will hear it during wartime. I think was the effort from the region, the regional bodies, the IGAD, the African Union, and even the UN, the Arab League, Egypt, South Sudan, these countries which are calling for end of hostilities. Mm. I think there could be a light at the end of the tunnel if there is a political will. Mm. In Khartoum to end hostilities.
Right. Now, of course, you have recognized the UN, the AU, and the IGAD coming together to see that this is resolved amicably. But which international nations do you think and players can actually influence a change in direction?
Of course, Sudan is a very important country in the region. And there are a lot of foreign players in Sudan. China is there. Russia is there. The Arabs are there. The Egyptians, the Emiratis, the Saudis are there in Sudan. Mm-hmm. Even South Sudan has also a good chance of actually talking to leaders of Sudan. But the way things are, it may not be today or tomorrow, because they have reached a point of no return. It will take a lot of time, really, to reconcile these two leaders. It will take a long time.
Right.
Our fear is the civilian, especially those who are in Khartoum. By the way, a rapid response force is a very big military group. When war broke out on Saturday, it was not only in Khartoum. It was in Fashir, in Niala, in border with South Sudan, as far as Port Sudan, Al-Gadarif, Marawi. So it was all over Sudan. And our fear is, should this war continue, it will have ramification on South Sudan. It will have a very negative effect on our economy here in South Sudan. We rely 90% on oil revenues. And we are using Sudanese infrastructure to take our oil to the international market.
Right.
Should we see any damage to this oil infrastructure, that will mean the oil production may stop, and we will be in a very big disaster not seen before. It will be in a very big shape here in South Sudan, because we depend 90% on oil revenues.
Right.
And there are chances that any of the two groups could use oil as a weapon of war.
Yeah, that's a possibility. So what would the implication be politically or socially?
The spread of war in Sudan will have political implication, not only on South Sudan, but on the region. The rapid response force have over 100,000 soldiers. The Sudanese army have over 200,000 soldiers.
Yeah.
And they are using airplanes. If we see a collapse of institutions, state institutions in Khartoum, this could invite other bad boys from around the world. I'm talking here about the international terrorist organization, the Islamists. They are not far from Sudan, by the way. They are in Libya. They are in Mali. They are in Burkina Faso. They are in the region.
So this serves an opportunity for them.
They could use Sudan to be their safe haven. That is why this is not good for South Sudan. It's not a good news for South Sudan. Government of South Sudan should take this thing seriously. They should double their efforts to make sure that these two rivals are reconciled as soon as possible. I understand that the IGAD is planning to send three head of state to Khartoum. The Kenyan President William Ruto, President of Djibouti, and His Excellency President Salva Kiir of South Sudan. And we are supposed to see this soon, as soon as possible. But how are these people going to land in Khartoum?
Yeah.
The airport is closed, as I'm speaking. Musa Faki from the African Union want to go to Sudan as soon as possible. He even was planning to go today. How can he go? So I think it is time that people really need to pray for Sudan.
Well, much, Andrea, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Right. And that is an analysis from our political analyst, much, Andrea, who has been looking at the implication of the Sudan conflict into the country. And he says when things are not good, looking good in Sudan, of course, things will not look good for South Sudan, because we do depend on oil revenue, and we do depend on Sudanese infrastructure to channel our oil. And if something happens to that infrastructure, then production might actually go to a ground halt, and things will not be, that will be adding more injury to a frail economy that we have in the country right now.